Hello, college basketball fans. What a week it was. What a program we have today. It's the Fired episode. I can't believe we made it here before the end of the 2023-24 season. I'm Timmy Hall. My college basketball loving friend is Evil Bald Colin. Get that smile off your face.
Do you know that
You're
meme?
You're a sick SOB. You know that?
Do you know that meme of LeBron James where he's out at the pool and he's taking a selfie?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I can't believe this is my life. No, but honestly, seriously, it is a sad day in terms of the sport and for Holtman and his family and whatnot. I totally understand and respect them in this time because it's not an easy thing to deal with, especially in middle of the season like that. Just to abruptly end your job in the middle of its biggest peak of the year, like that's crazy. So I do have sympathy for that, but it is at the end of the day something that Ohio State had to be working towards. I just didn't expect it to happen at this point.
You know, I'll start there too, because I've said this on some of the shows this week. I get how you guys might be sick and tired of hearing about Chris Holtman was a nice dude. Still is. I mean, we don't need to talk about him in the past tense as far as a person. It will be interesting for me, just as a college basketball guy, I would think for a lot of our listeners for this podcast too, where he goes, what he ultimately does. I don't think this was by any means a train wreck of a tenure at Ohio State.
No, this isn't Kenny Payne. Like, Kenny Payne's not getting another major college basketball job anytime soon.
God, no. I mean, we can think of hundreds of hires of guys that came in with a little bit of clout, came in with some expectations, found themselves at big gigs, and just had horrible face plants. This, to me, if anything, shows the fans, the vocal fans, a lot of what they wanted, right? I came away from this thinking that there is not apathy with Buckeye men's basketball because everybody was so loud. A part of me wonders if the fan base is largely responsible for getting this done because of how they spoke with declining attendance numbers and just something that we could all feel. It was palpable that the energy and the buzz for the program was gone. Sometimes a fan base has to speak that way. You've got to not go to some of the games so you can prove your point and let your frustration show that way. You know, maybe, you know, this was like the week of firings because Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM for the Jackets, third longest tenured GM in the NHL, finally gone, right? But the fan base is so damn loyal over there. It's such a great environment all the time. We love seeing the visiting team, right? Speaking about the Jackets, but they got this done, you know? They got this done. And this week now, Colin, as sad as it is that a hire ended this way and it didn't work out, I was wrong. You know, I've got to admit that. I thought three years ago that this was going to happen. Like, this would certainly be a guy that would get a Sweet 16 run. And we talked about the trifecta, right? You either got to win a Big Ten conference or share a tournament title, which those can happen. They got to the overtime of one of those and it didn't happen. Or you got to get to the Sweet 16. Got to get out of the first round in 7 years, not quite 7 years. And Colin, that's what it was about.
It's just bare minimum for me. And I think it's okay to have that expectation. If you're going to listen to Gene Smith and the administration talk about this being a top 15 job, well, a top 15 job, you need to be making those marks routinely. So the fact that we were heading towards a second straight year of no NCAA tournament, it seems pretty self-explanatory what had to happen. And to your point of hearing what the fans say and with their actions, definitely this administration and Gene himself, they definitely hear it. They're definitely aware of it, despite what people might think. They are actually very aware of the discourse around the program or their programs in general across all sports. But like you said, it's not a happy day by any means, but it was in terms of where the program needs to go forward. It's a necessary one to kind of reset and find its new footing.
You know, we had episode 100 last week. Episode 101.
I was in Vegas.
You were gone.
That's amazing.
You ducked out on it. Yeah, yeah. I seem to recall, I could hop on the headset and I could get on the access and I still do the show. Meanwhile, I'm just doing 25 minutes with Jeff Bowles. So we had a good time.
That's amazing. Potential candidate, maybe?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
No,
Of course, they went out and they lost their game to Arkansas State in the little Sun Belt MAC challenge on the road. But and OU had started to get hot, too, so hopefully they still can.
No, I wish all the best for Bowles, and I think he could make his way to a Power Six position one day. I think he's happy. I think he likes where he is. Yeah, I agree. He definitely seems to be happy where he is, and he's done a great job there.
That's great that there are guys like that. Yeah, you know, I don't remember exactly what he said about it. Hey, the good thing is the podcast is right there.
That's right.
We talked about, you know, his love for the job, and his son is going to be walking on for him. So I appreciate how there are guys that enjoy the spot that they're in college basketball. He's close to Columbus. I think Athens is just so great. It is. It's so great. My son might wind up going to school there someday. He loves it down there.
Yeah.
And Bowles' kid's going to walk on and play some basketball. He played there, you know. He's still very connected in the game. He's a basketball guy. He's a Thad Mata guy till he dies, you know. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, think of the guys that have had longevity at smaller schools like that, like a Randy Bennett out at St. Mary's. Chris Mooney down at Richmond, who's having a pretty good year. Like
the Mooney man.
Yeah, having a pretty good year. I think tied for first in the A-10. So it's a good mix of guys that see the potential to go up and take a step up to the Power Six and guys that see themselves as maybe a lifelong guy in those main majors, and it's okay either way.
It's funny you mentioned Randy Bennett because you think of the big dog in that conference being Mark Few. You're talking about West Coast Conference basketball, and we've mentioned that several times, how give Gonzaga credit, and that's a mid-major conference. Mark Few stayed at Gonzaga. And Munson, who had that first big run, big hire at Minnesota, complete faceplant, right?
That's always the concern, man.
I have to go look at his resume, but I want to say Chris Holtmann much, much, much better in his time here at Ohio State than what Munson, who left Gonzaga, did at Minnesota.
I would have to imagine, yeah.
But anyway, you know, Randy Bennett's a 20-year guy. He's probably not a dude that's ever leaving St. Mary's because of what he built there. Yeah, and there are guys like that out in the game. Not the guys that Ohio State is going to be looking at, because you're going to be needing either some stepping stone guys or the ability to just swing for the fences and throw fat stacks of cash right in front of somebody and see what they can do. But this whole episode 101, of course, is going to be about the firing of Ohio State head basketball coach Chris Holtmann, everything that led up to it, what the team is looking like going forward, and, of course, the coaching search. This is Mad About Hoops.
Five to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner. He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing. Bang.
Did it, Jerome!
College basketball! This is March Madness!
Yes, it is. It was a mad and crazy week. Wednesday morning between, you know, 10 a.m. and noon is when everything hit the fan, and there will always be some stories to tell about this one. I do think, you know, and we'll talk about the decision of a midseason firing. In general, I'm totally cool with it, right? If you got to do what you got to do, if you're reaching the inevitable anyway, and you want to get a jump start on things, it also gives Jake Diebler an opportunity, another one, to start building his resume. And hey, if you can get hot with this team after this messy year and a half, that can do something for him. Because I think we all know, like, he's, as much as we like the guy, there's no chance at this point in time that he could, outside of winning the Big Ten tournament and going to the Final Four,
winning the national championship.
Win the national championship. Wait, then you've got a Disney movie, all right? They've got a Disney movie and the job, so that would be it. But I wish it would have been done cleaner, just for everybody's sake, that if you're going to fire him,
that's fair.
Don't leak it to somebody. Call him, fire him, and then let him have his words with his team, and then let's get it, because you know, some people, I think, thought that, you know, Holtmann was the one that leaked this to Jeff Goodman. Holtmann might have told Jeff Goodman in the end.
Yeah.
But this was already out in the morning.
Right.
You told me, and I'm like, Colin, I don't know. Because I immediately went to work, and I was getting the company line fed back.
Yeah. So what's interesting about that is you referenced the Goodman tweet, which happened around noon. That's when really the noise started to pick up pretty heavy.
I do believe
that maybe there was someone within the facility that got that to Goodman, and he's been pretty close with Holtmann during Holtmann's career. But no, you talked about the somewhat anonymous college football Twitter account that kind of threw that out there. He's based here locally in the Central Ohio area.
Waxman or Waxman, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Neither of us have met him, but he'd done some work with Buckeye Sports Bulletin. I think he was with the NBC affiliate at times. And this is what you sent me. So he sends me this thing that's got a football emoji. It's got no, like, it's hard to tell if that this is actually a name because the actual handle is at CFFM Waxman. So, okay, you got the Mike Waxman there. But in bold, it just says CFB Focus. College football focus? Something is breaking this, and it starts off saying, not much of a hoops person. That's always the way to start it, right? Not much of a hoops person, but have learned that the Ohio State basketball program will be moving on from Chris Holtmann sometime today. And it was 100% accurate, so credit to you. He absolutely was clued in. Don't know how, don't know what the source was.
He's been for very multiple high things. Up, I mean, he nailed the Chip Kelly move after Bill O'Brien left, and that worked out great. So he's
in.
He's got it.
He's in.
He's got an in. He's got a source over there somehow, some way. But no, good on him for nailing that scoop. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Whoever was leaking that to him before this was the team meeting happened, before the meeting between Gene and Chris occurred on that morning, it was messy in the way it turned out.
Because it put them in a spot, and here's what happened. As I first started talking to people, making phone calls and text messages to see what the hell was going on and if this was real, and I wasn't sure yet until it got much later. And then clearly at 11 o'clock, Chris Holtmann was meeting with Gene Smith. Like, he was in the office and it was happening. But they had the show to tape, the coach's show that's on Bally, inside Ohio State Athletics, that our guy Dom Tiberi does most of the interviewing with Kevin McGuff and Chris Holtmann and all that. So they had to cover their bases and they had to come up with something to not do it without yet saying that, oh yeah, you know what, Chris Holtmann's getting fired right now, so we can't tape it. And the excuse was completely plausible, right, CB? Like, you told me that we were talking about the show being delayed. I said, well, they are getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning, the 9 p.m. tip last night, which, by the way, we completely gloss over the game against Wisconsin, which maybe we'll have a few minutes time about for this pod, but there's bigger fish to fry. So you come back and you say, yeah, well, can we just do it tomorrow? Like, that was the word. I bought that. Why would you not? The show's going to air later anyway. Why would you have to, you know, come back in after 3 hours sleep and do that show? It's been a miserable season anyway. It's been rough talking to Dom and how they've had to do that show and how they've had to keep, you know, a good face and a good appearance up. It all just sucked. It all just sucks.
Yeah, it's no pretty way to go about it. And I know there's even debates on doing it midseason versus the end of the season and what's the benefit of it. And I definitely get the understanding, or I understand why those argue for end of the season. But with the changes of the schedule in college athletics these days and, you know, the advent of the transfer portal and when that window opens, right when the season gets around to finishing, you have to have your staff and your head coach position really set up by the time you get to around the middle of March, maybe getting closer to the Final Four, because you need to be ready to attack that portal right when it opens, right when a season ends. So it's very imperative that you do that in this age of college basketball. So I get the midseason firing, but as we just stated, the way it went about that day happening, it wasn't the best.
All right, as we stack the show, should we do this coming up next and hear from Gene? Because Gene is the big guy that's got to own this one.
Absolutely.
Got to feel this one.
We do need to do that. If we do end the segment, I do want to get this news out there because I saw it. You'll obviously know this ahead of time. If you're listening to this on our Saturday morning broadcast, but the Maui Invitational is announcing that they're bringing the tournament back to the islands.
Yeah.
So they've already started out.
Saw that.
They put the link out for, you know, booking your travel to Maui to go see the tournament.
I like how they got some love right before the Super Bowl coin toss.
Did you see that piece?
About Maui and Lahaina and, you know, getting back. And they did a little piece about one of the high school football teams and what that meant to them. And just things that if we've never been to Hawaii and you've never gotten to see that beautiful place, I'm still waiting to take my trip out there one day. And I would love to do
it. It's a bucket lister.
I'd love to do it for the Maui, right? Like, I'm more jealous of Matt Andrews than anyone else on planet Earth, who's our women's basketball voice. And he does a bang up job. But when there's conflicts, Paul Keels is not missing an Ohio State-Michigan football game.
That's right.
So if Ohio State's in the Maui, Matty A going to the Maui. Like, that's, and he went. He went the year before the fires happened. I know that.
He did that.
And now has a special place in his heart.
He did that, and then this past year he went down to Destin when they did that that tournament down there during the Michigan week.
They got that championship.
That's right. They do have the trophy with that.
They do.
And a win over Alabama.
They got that trophy. So we're going to hear from Gene, his reasoning, why do this now? Because as we said, a lot of this, he's got to feel it and he's got to own it, how this worked out with Chris Holtmann. Chris Holtmann, Ohio State men's basketball coach, fired this week. You guys have Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colin, Ohio State head basketball coach, Chris Holtmann is gone. Let go. You know, it's interesting, Colin, because you always wonder what the verbiage is going to be. A lot of times you like to go with the mutually agree to part ways for the betterment of the basketball program. Coach will usually release a statement like that. This is going to be best for the team going forward, and so I'll step away this time. This Gene Smith made it a point that it did not want to be that way, and we did read that it's a $12.8 million buyout, not a full $14 million, and who knows, there might be something there that we don't know 100% on, as if he takes another job in college hoops, as that continue to come down. A lot of times buyouts have something written in the clause for
that,
too.
Oh, they absolutely do. I know for a fact that it did with Mata, because he was required to interview for jobs during that time away when he was getting paid the buyout money in order to still be eligible to get the money. So he was, you know, going and interviewing for those jobs. I think at the time it was rumored like TCU, Georgia, he interviewed for those jobs. Didn't really have the interest in taking them, but in order to keep getting that paycheck, he had to keep on satisfying the requirements.
Yeah,
so I'm sure there's something like that.
And I'm not a reporter guy, but I have heard that there could be something there for Ohio State to save some more money off of that. That's what I have been told. So look out for that. Anything helps, right?
That's very typical with how contracts are built.
Double-digit millions right there.
Yeah,
anything helps.
It's very much how contracts are built these days, so that coaches don't necessarily double dip if they go get another position like that.
He didn't need that. I mean, you know, living in Upper Arlington, he's got a great life, great house. We've seen shots of his basement when he had the COVID games there.
That's
he's
right.
got like a projection screen down there. He's been making millions of dollars for 6-7 years. He probably was making a low mill at Butler, wouldn't you say? When he got the head coaching gig there?
Oh, wow.
High hundreds of thousands or low millions?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
And they're probably swinging bigger now.
Problem is that's a private school. You're never going to get those figures. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would probably guess that.
So it was down as terminated. Like, that's the official word. Terminated is fired. That's exactly what that is. So that's how it happened with Coach Holtmann. And it was abrupt. It was fast. It was sudden. There's the deal where he felt a little bit blindsided by it. And that, like, as we referenced, was because it got leaked out to this person and, you know, it was swirling. And then he didn't get a chance to tell the team before they're, you know, group texting or whatnot.
Yeah,
I guess
the context of that is really important, because, I mean, if you've lost a record amount of straight road games, like, not blindsided in that sense, but blindsided in the fact that it was happening that morning.
That's right. Important distinction. We're not dumb, right? You know, when you haven't won a road game in a year and a half, 16, it's a record for this program of not winning a game on the road. You had to feel, and again, I don't know if you took this too, but I was talking to Adam King of 10 TV earlier this week, and he shared a little video because he had the camera like he does after a game. He's on the court. When they won that game against Maryland, it really did look and feel, and even just how chipper Holtmann was afterwards, he just seemed like a guy that had already compartmentalized and maybe made his peace with what had happened and, you know, some of his emotions, some of his feelings about maybe he felt, and I'm not saying that it's that everyone agrees with that, but maybe he felt a little bit hung out to dry with what the plan was of how they were going forward, and they stopped short of it. Now, we'll get to some of that with Gene's comments, but it felt to me like he might have known that was the last win he was ever going to get at Ohio State, because look at what the schedule was coming up.
It wasn't very easy.
And you couldn't afford really any more losses. Like, you were done losing. You just beating Maryland and then losing to Wisconsin, Purdue, and it doesn't matter that they're great teams and you should lose to them on paper. You just couldn't lose any more games. That was it.
You couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that was there. So what part of Gene were you most curious about? Let's go with the this is hard, and you could tell how emotional Gene is about this.
Well, it's hard. You know,
long.
It's really hard.
Spencer,
when you have good people and you care about people, then it's hard. If you don't have a good person and you really don't care about the person, it's easier. But when you care about someone like I do, it makes it hard.
There you go. Again, you can be tired of hearing about it, but it made, clearly, you hear it in Gene's voice, made that a more difficult thing to have to do.
I mean, I totally believe it. You build these relationships in these jobs, and this was really his main hire at this point in time, his main hire in the basketball program on the men's side of things. So he had a real personal connection with Chris Holtmann. And if you remember that process correctly, after they were letting Mata go and hiring his replacement, it was pretty tight between both he and Greg McDermott, the Creighton head coach. And it was,
and he'll be a name we could talk about in the candidate section.
You might be able to. But yeah, no, the Holtmann process and getting him here was a big deal for Gene. So I totally believe that he had that strong connection, and you can hear it in his voice. It really impacted him.
Can't really ever be a fun thing to fire somebody.
No, of course not.
Some managers, I'm sure, that are listening to the show and have had to do that, and they would know if it's a really good person and it's not for lack of effort. Someone works their ass off, but it just, whatever reason, the results weren't there getting it done. It's a hard thing to do.
No, I totally agree. And again, I've never been in that position, so I can't speak to it. But I think that's where the compensation helps a little bit.
Maybe I will someday. You better watch out, CB, because I'm going to take great enjoyment in firing your ass.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I eagerly await that day.
I'm kidding. Gene, he actually regretted something. How often do you hear an AD kind of put on the block on something?
That was the biggest surprise for
me. And
yesterday,
then he doesn't try to make some excuse, because the biggest blunder, and again, like, I think where I was going into last year or even ending last year was, that was a really rough season. I'm not ready to fire Holtmann after 1-16-19 and his first tournament miss. Not ready to do it. This year was going to be it, and this year has turned out to be what it was, even though it happened fast. But the extension, to give him the contract extension after the season where they lost in the second round again, and it wasn't a great Ohio State season. You had EJ Malachi and Kyle Young, who are all going to be gone. And then the process of starting young was about to hit you. And then you give an extension. Well, he still had multiple. He wouldn't have been a lame duck coach. You just play it out, you know? You play it out and you see what the progress is like.
That's exactly right.
Gene took that one.
Of course you do. I've had many regrets in my lifetime. I've been doing this a long time. If I could fix all the regrets that I have in my life, I'd fix them all. But certainly that's one of them.
He took it, Colin. He took that. Did that surprise you at all?
It surprised me, but I like hearing that, because you don't hear that as often with people in sports leadership that much these days. You know, they'll try to walk around the question or say they don't regret things. They make intentional decisions in the time, and they react to things when it doesn't go the correct direction. But yeah, to hear him say that outright, that did surprise me a little bit.
I know. I want to talk about one other aspect of this on the flip side, which is maybe one of the more interesting parts of what happened with this program and why it got so bad in these last 2 years, because of an idea of just how to do things. And Gene's response to that, there's something that evil definitely does not want to see in this coaching search, as we start looking at some logical names for who could be the next Ohio State head basketball coach. You guys have gotten mad about hoops.
One of these men is evil and bald. The other one is Timmy Hall, swinging his meat bat. You're listening to Mad About Hoops on The Fan.
You got Timmy Hall, you got Evil Bald Colin, a couple of college basketball lovers. Still juiced up, still locked in for the stretch run. I am. I have to be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't, and I've said this for many of years, and especially last year and this year, you can't let your local team completely impact your outlook on the entire sport, because there is a lot of basketball out there that's not Ohio State or your favorite team related. And there's a lot of good ball out there. So you got to at least enjoy that aspect. And of course, March Madness. And you know what? If Ohio State's in there, great. If they're not, then you still get to enjoy it, but hope for better for your team.
We've got experience with this with some of our other sports teams. I mean, you're a Browns fan, for God's sakes. You can't let the Browns kill your spirits for football.
Yeah, you're
right.
I'm
a Commanders fan.
Right.
I can't do that. I mean, we do have some good college basketball teams. I mean, I'm a Kansas grad, so I'm usually lucky in that regard. And we like Ohio State football.
Butler's in a lot of like bubble or last four in situations, so I'm interested in that.
Yeah,
but,
hanging in. That Marquette win would have been huge.
It would have been big, and they've got a big one actually this weekend against Creighton at home that they got to pull together and win.
Before we get some of your names here, that thing you don't want to see happen, the decision, which was more of a collective decision. Some people have said that's weird, right? Why would Gene Smith kind of be in on the plans? But I think where we are, in my opinion now, when they decided a couple years to retool this thing and to take an approach, because maybe at the time the rules weren't this, but the rules then changed and how you've got you had the pandemic season, which gave you some older basketball players. And then you have the first time, the transfer rule. It just became the Wild West for transfer portal, right? Could leave anytime, go anywhere new anytime. We've got guys that are playing on their fourth teams in 4 or 5 years.
Can completely change a program. It's different in football in the sense you can change your program in one offseason.
And it's the type of sport more so than football where you have to do that more often than not.
Absolutely.
And in a conference like the Big Ten right now, where the floors for all these teams are elevating, you just can't afford to go too young. So I think the plan and the idea was flawed, but Gene was a part of that. And some people wonder if this was the thing that got Chris Holtmann screwed out of the job here. This was Gene on the decision to do that and go with a younger roster a couple years ago.
Young men have played hard. They've given a lot. But the reality is, you know, the body of work over this last year, I felt that they needed something different from a leadership point of view to give them that chance. While they're young, there's a lot of minutes on that floor, a lot. And so they still have 6 home games in the tournament. So I wanted to give them a shot, and that's what they have.
So you're saying, so you still believe in the talent on this team, just that talent was not being realized the level you wanted to see it?
That's right.
That part at the end is not really one that I'm buying, you know? And there was another part there too, CB, that you heard about the, you know, timing of it, so you can get a kickstart on, you know, some of the names that we're going to talk about next, right?
I agree with that part on the kickstart.
He pushed back on that. He said it was less about, this is Gene Smith, right? That it was less about getting a head start in the coaching search. He was like, we can't do too much there. It was more about just firing Chris Holtmann now so this team could possibly flourish, which none of us really think this team, look at the schedule.
I'm not calling anyone a liar, but I don't fully
I don't buy it.
You're...
I don't buy that. And the thing on going young, it's got to be Holtmann, I'm sure, is distraught over this. If he went too deep into that plan and now is out because it didn't work, I'm sure from Gene's point of view, he would admit that that's the plan, but he would also probably tell you, I still needed to see more. We could have gone young like that, but we still needed to see improvements. We had a 16-19 season. So this year, he mentioned it, we had a lot of minutes. He said it kind of there, we had a lot of minutes. So they needed to start improving a little bit more this year, and they started to regress.
Yeah, I think my only concern, though, is I think you can do a real hybrid of both methods, and meaning that you can go young, but you also can hammer the portal for higher level guys that are older. And I think it just has to be a certain mix. Like, I love Jamison Battle and what he can bring to a program, but he really is kind of limited in what he's an expert at. And it's really his perimeter offense and his ability to move the ball. But rebounding and defense has not really been his strongest trait. He's had flashes in both aspects, but
or
not
just
really
going hard to the rack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I don't think they have the mindset of when they went to that portal, getting the all-around guys. They were trying to get pieces from the portal to kind of complement what they had, and it probably wasn't the best approach.
All right, so it's all going to start turning to, you know, whether Gene, you know, agrees that they're going to be able to get ahead of this a little bit. They will get their list, and they'll be able to go through some channels, right? Not like tampering or anything, but gauge interest here, even before guys' seasons are done.
They'll call agents.
That's how it goes.
Absolutely.
They'll call agents, yeah, and find out what the guys are interested in. Something you definitely don't want to see is what?
Me personally, I don't want to go the NBA route. And I understand that there's a lot of love for guys like Chris Gent, especially from the Ohio State community. And I totally get why you would have that connection to him, especially if you grew up in the ages where he was playing at Ohio State. And even if you watch some of the teams he coached on with Mata here in Columbus. But to me personally, I've seen how the translation has gone for these guys coming from the NBA as assistants to the college game, and especially with how much the game has changed. It's a little bit different than what Chris Gent was in the first time around when he was here. And I know not every example was down the one, but I'm a little scared of what the Kenny Payne era has looked like down at Louisville, because it's not a carbon copy, but I mean, he was a assistant in the pros with New York at the time and was a great former legend of Louisville, came back home to his team, and it hasn't been great.
I'm trying to think of the NBA. I know there's got to be one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. The NBA assistant.
Now,
Mike Woodson's just doing...
He's okay. And honestly, he might be a guy, it's going to be this arms race for a lot of these big programs to get rid of their guys to go get who they want next. And I think Indiana could be one of those possibilities, because they probably want their guy in Dusty May. I think that would be their next move if they went and moved away from Woodson. And Dusty May is a guy we could mention here with Ohio State that they'll probably look at too.
But they want to go bigger first.
They absolutely should.
Tell me why Sean Miller wouldn't be the most logical guy, who's a big name, kind of been on, knocked off the perch a little bit. He's in state.
I believe he's the most logical one.
Yeah, me too. There might be some rumblings that he wouldn't be interested, but who isn't going to say that?
You got to make the call.
Who isn't going to say that?
Like how a lot of fans want to call Jay Wright. You got to make the call, even if he said he's not interested in getting back into the game. Like, make the phone call, make an effort. Sean Miller might find the opportunities with NIL and fan and administration support to be better at Xavier. I don't know if that's fully the case, but if he thinks that and it turns out to be true and he decides to stay there, oh, well, you move down the list. That's why you don't just go in with one to two guys. I'm sure Gene, and at the time it's going to be Ross Bjork that really makes the decision, they're going to have tiered lists on who they want and just go down the list.
BetOhio.com. had odds on this yesterday.
Oh, or
I'm sorry, they had odds on this the day that he was let go, late on Wednesday. Wes Miller plus 450, Sean Miller plus 700. So Cincy and Xavier coach, boom, boom. Dusty May plus 1,000. Lamont Paris, a name you will still be hearing.
I like it.
Plus 1,200. Anthony Grant Dayton, no, plus 1,200. Pat Kelsey, Charleston, maybe, plus 1,500. Will Wade, McNeese State, plus 1,500.
That would be so funny. Honestly.
Other is plus 250 at 29%. So the most obvious, the biggest one is the other, like anybody else off that board.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of these lists that I've seen, and even my own list, I think I've fallen into the trap of, you know, the typical candidates a guy like Gene Smith would go after. And they've made it pretty clear this is going to be Ross Bjork's decision. We don't really know what he's going to look for in his next candidate. And quite honestly, it could be someone completely off the board that we're not even thinking about yet. And I'm just trying to think of on the fly who that could be. Maybe even a Buzz Williams, who wasn't mentioned at his former school. But it's going to be very interesting, because we've seen the way that Gene has thought about coaching hires. And we saw that with the last time he went and got Holtman, the type of guy he'll go for. But with Bjork, we really don't have that idea yet. So it could be someone completely unexpected.
Crazy week. Chris Holtman out as Ohio State's head basketball coach. We've had a lot of coverage for you all week long on The Fan, and hopefully you're enjoying it here on our podcast, Mad About Hoops, with the replay going on right now on Saturday morning. We'll buzz some college basketball and what's going around. And obviously the Buckeyes have Zach Edey and the Boilers to get ready for, and Jake Diebler's first game up as interim. You guys are locked into Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Mad About Hoops, Saturday morning crowd. Thank you for tuning in to us. Big weekend ahead of some big games going around the sport and in the Big East. I know we'll get to Ohio State. You will host Purdue. Congrats and good luck on that. But congrats actually to the 98-99 team that's going to get honored at that game. That's correct.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The invisible Final Four.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Michael Redd is there all the time. He's there all the time.
We do see him pretty often down there, don't we?
That is a dude right there. What do you think he made? $90 million? And that was before the major money came into the NBA. But he was a great player for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I can look this up on the fly, but that's a great question.
Bucks making bucks right there. I mean, how about that? Buckeyes making bucks, Milwaukee Bucks all the way around for Michael Redd. But yeah, that's a tough one. Evil, we got a big crew going out to that Purdue game.
I have a career earnings of 101 million.
101 million. I went too far off. Short it though. But no, dude, yeah, we got 8 tickets. So you know my parents are Purdue alums.
Absolutely.
My dad is completely locked in to this basketball season. He's going to be so sad when it turns to crap in the NCAA tournament. It's as sad as he's ever been. As if this hasn't been rough enough with the Boilers being one of the best programs in the country consistently the last few years. And not only do they bow out early, I mean, they lost to the freaking 16 seed with one of the best players they've ever had. And Zach's going to, you know, win another National Player of the Year award. He might come back next year and win a third in a row. But we got an 8-person crowd going to that game on Sunday.
I need to know if your dad's getting a little nervous by some of these bracketology reports, because I've seen...
What are they saying?
Well, obviously, we've seen a team like Kentucky start to slide, and they're starting to get down to that 8-9 territory.
Oh, to get hammered with a Kentucky in the second round, possibly?
I'm just saying, Kentucky doesn't play any defense at all, but man, if they're fully healthy and DJ Wagner's back, man, that would scare me if I was a Purdue fan.
Do you remember the year where Wichita State had the 1 seed?
Yeah, and Kentucky.
And they got hit with Kentucky. And that just seemed like a Kentucky that was a 4 seed. You know, it seemed that
they were pretty consistent.
Woefully underseeded with the talent.
Well,
there.
I think the
and it was a great game, but Wichita State lost.
Was the Kentucky team that beat Ohio State in that 1 year? I think it was a 2-7 matchup, I believe, with Ohio State.
Yeah, I think
too.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so I would hate to see a Kentucky team lower than like a 7 seed out.
No,
in the tournament.
Yeah, don't just there's certain programs. It doesn't matter, you know, which iteration it is. I wouldn't be too afraid of an Indiana. But Kentucky, yes. You know, that's just one that does more for me. If it was like Duke, UNC, or Kentucky fixing in one of those, you know, mid spots. And I get it. Sometimes it has to happen. Sometimes your resume is a lot worse, but sometimes the selection committee does screw up. And we don't tend to talk about the big screw ups in seeding just so long as everyone gets in. And so many guys make the tournament. I do hate being that guy. Yeah, that bubble boy guy, if you don't get in, I don't have time for
Tim,
there's 68 spots. If you don't get in, I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
Lose less games and win more.
There's going to be like 96 spots here coming soon, so don't worry about
it.
Oh,
man, you think we're really doing that?
Oh, they're 100% doing that. It's all about the money.
Is that done, or are you just saying?
No,
that's
I mean
happen?
They're meeting this week, and I know they're talking about the college football playoff, and they're talking about tournament expansion, all kinds of stuff like that.
It's really, really awful. It's awful.
It seems
it's
pretty.
It's a perfect thing. The first four in Dayton is all they ever needed to do with it, and that works, and that's locked in. I can never even go to that either. It's an hour down the road, and we're always too busy working in the evenings.
It's a little closer for me, so I might make it.
Yeah, you're west of town now, right?
Yeah, I am.
And I love the high majors. How you'll have the power conference 11 seeds facing off against each other. Those are usually high quality games. Plus, didn't UCLA play their way in through there?
They did. Obviously,
Johnny Juzang,
VCU did. Because we had that stretch of years where a team from the first four made it to the second weekend, like so many straight years.
And you're VCU, Shaka's team.
Yeah, of course.
Shaka's a name I want to throw out there for. I'm on him again.
That's fair.
I like him again. I don't know if he would leave. Back on Team Shaka.
That's more of a Ross Bjork off the board one, which I like, but it hasn't been mentioned much.
He's a guy that he actually worked at Dayton when he was right out of school.
That's right.
Worked in the hoops offices there. And he's a Kenyan college guy.
I think he's also from Wisconsin, though. So he'd be pulling him away from home.
You would be. But
it's
hey,
tough.
It's one of those ones that it is interesting. Like Marquette is in the top 5 right now. They have a really good thing going. He's found some success in the Big East. He tried his hand in the Big 12 in a bigger conference, and that did not go as well. So he felt what it's like to be at a big budget athletic department place like Texas, where football was what they needed to worry about first. but it wasn't like basketball would be overlooked, and he understood how just, you know, being okay was not good enough there. And they eventually, that one might have been not
but
a firing, but a mutually agreed to part
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, absolutely. He got out a year early, and sometimes that's really the best thing for some of these guys' careers, and it's turned out great for him at Marquette.
All right, what's the last game or two that you're looking forward to? I got that Marquette-UConn game, man.
Yeah,
that's
fun. I think Marquette and UConn is interesting, but really just the Big East in general, because they do a really good job at backloading their schedules. Do you know the final, and I would consider this Marquette game part of the final six. UConn's final six games are home versus Marquette this weekend. Then they'll be at Creighton, home versus Villanova, hosting Seton Hall, who they lost to on the road already this year. At Marquette and then at Providence.
Ooh.
So we're gonna find out a lot about this UConn team over the next couple of weeks.
I would say look out for the Jayhawks. That's a pretty big one. You got the Kentucky-Auburn game Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Are you nervous about them?
Yes. Yeah. Why not? Why not? Yeah.
Because it very much feels like if one thing is off about that team, and it's not a very deep team, especially because guys like Nick Timberlake just haven't, you know, really transformed themselves from the mid-majors to the pro game. I think I would be a little nervous too, but it's the life in the Big 12.
Please do go and download the podcast. If you've missed anything, there's always going to be more on the one that you can get that doesn't replay on the Fan. Anywhere you get your audio, search up Mad About Hoops. If you're a college basketball lover, this is the one for you. And we're steamrolling towards March. We are still really freaking excited about it. Chris Holtmann, though, not the head basketball coach at Ohio State anymore. They made the move this week. CB, good stuff, man. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Tim. Can't wait, man. That much closer to Selection Sunday.
Everybody enjoy the basketball. As always, make your free throws.